Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. In a world where action movies are constantly exploding at the box office, our heroes take on the monumental task of dissecting and analyzing all aspects of action movies to truly understand what it takes to make a great action film. Ben Bateman, Andrew Guy, in a Popcorn Talk Network exclusive, this is Action Movie Anatomy.
What's up, everybody? Ben Bateman here with Action Movie Anatomy. Welcome to the show. We talk movies on the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network devoted to talking movies and all things movie related. I am joined today by my co-host, Andrew Guy.
What's up, everybody? Happy to be back.
And two quality guests. We have JTE.
Thank you very much. I'm ready to talk some Rambo.
And my new friend, Tom.
Yes. How you guys doing?
How are you, Tom?
I'm a big Rambo guy, Rocky guy, obviously, and the mug is back.
Yeah.
The mug is special.
Yeah, it's been gone for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a special one, guys. This movie is pretty iconic in the canon that we do. We talk action movies here on the show, and they all have to fit in to four basic rules to qualify for the show. So these are action movies that start from 1981 on, and the four rules are: the hero always plays by their own rules. Mm-hmm. Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest guys in the room. Three, the movie is driven by a police, military, or political figure. And rule number four, the movie contains a minimum of one explosion.
Is there an explosion in this movie?
It actually starts on an explosion. Before there's any dialogue or screen time, it just explodes, and now we're watching Rambo.
Well, once Stallone pops on the screen, that's an automatic explosion anyway.
explodes onto the screen.
His hair has exploded out to another degree in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, like in MacGruber, when they like spoof, like it's like you hear the panther. And it's like that's like you watch this movie, you're like, wow, that's where they get ideas for stuff like this, because it literally just starts on an explosion.
Yeah, I wish they had that sound in there.
There's a rock explosion, right? Basically, just a rock exploding. He's in jail.
Well, he's like doing like he's chiseling or something, right?
he's a sculptor, I believe, is what it is. He was sculpting rocks,
and then he goes and sculpts himself.
Exactly,
it's the only place where he can find peace.
That's right.
This movie is pretty important to all of us, and we are going to start today by watching the original trailer from 1985. Now, trailers back then were not quite as evolved as the wonderful trailers that we have today, but it still is relevant, I think. Yeah. To the film, and we can see some sweet clips of John Rambo.
Mm-hmm. I love old trailers.
Yeah, they're just.
I mean, Jesus Christ!
Is this a porno?
Yeah, I don't even know what that is, but it's awesome.
I already know I don't want to mess with this guy because he has muscles and scars.
He's really tan, also.
Yeah,
he's super tan,
and he's always baby oiled up.
You would think he's like putting a gun together. He's tying his shoelaces, people.
Yeah.
You can make tying shoes look badass.
So this was a specific trailer voice that I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
This was a mid-80s one?
Yeah, this is the before the 90s where it blew up with those two guys.
This guy did adult movies, too, in the 70s.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow, that's a good piece of trivia.
I'll send you guys a bunch of old John school Rambo 70 trailers.
John Rambo is back. Rambo is the best combat vet I've ever seen.
I love how everyone's just always sweating in Vietnam, too.
Of course.
Yeah, they do that in all those movies.
It's really humid.
It is. It's very warm there.
You'll find someone? POWs?
He doesn't know Rambo.
He doesn't know Rambo.
He'll find anything.
You've made a mistake. Oh, what's that? Rambo.
Oh, my God.
You know what? This trailer is pretty sweet.
It's sweet, yeah.
It's amazing.
It's definitely sweeter than some, no doubt.
In 85, forget about it.
Yeah, for 85, it's a really
traditional yell.
And reach the extraction
point. We're going down.
You're not going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a moment, by the way, when we get to recast, that moment in the movie is like super important to pay attention to. Because like a lot of the actors that you would think of, you would have a hard time believing them. They would just like sit down. They wouldn't like put up a fight. It's a very specific kind of actor who's loyal and military and smart, but willing to like be submissive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, a little weak.
Exactly. Yeah. That's super important, that moment.
That's why my recast is perfect.
Can't wait to hear it. Oh, you do have a good recast for that.
Oh, I know. He calls home.
What you call hell, he calls home. Yes. That's not the greatest tagline.
That's a great tagline.
Come on.
so sweet. So
slow motion run.
Nobody runs better than Stallone.
No.
I disagree.
Oh, Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is the only one.
I'll take Stallone over time.
Yeah, but Stallone has... Anthony Kiedis is a good runner, too. But Stallone, when Stallone runs, he knows how to, like, accentuate every single muscle in his body.
Yeah, that's true. It's a different type of run. Tom Cruise just looks like he's, like, running, like, 60 miles an hour wherever he goes.
Correct.
Amazing.
Listen, I would love to do this show, but I gotta go watch a movie now.
Yeah, all right, see you guys later. That does it for us this week.
All right, guys.
Totally runs.
So we've all seen the movie at least a couple times, and we're going to do this week. This is something we started doing last week, and I think this is it's a great new addition to the show. We are all going to sort of express our thesis statement. This is an important idea that each one of us is going to have about this movie that we're going to spend the rest of the show kind of leading back to, and it's just sort of a strong statement that we think represents our feeling on the movie. So I'm going to start over here with you, JTE. What is your strong, bold statement?
Yeah, I'm going to say this movie is the birth of the one-man army trope. I don't think any movie before this really captured the one-man army, which became every other B action movie.
Right.
Commando came out later that year, tried to be a one-man army. But this is the one that started, in my book. If you could give me a movie that was a one-man army before this, I'd be very surprised.
That's true.
Yeah, I got no debate.
I mean, it's vigilante movies and other things like that, but nothing like this like whole one-man against the world type stuff.
You bring up like Death Wish. Yeah, he's going out against some gangsters. This guy is literally taking on the Vietnam War.
Vietnam Army.
He's winning Vietnam
all
for us.
Vietnam.
I think it's also like really important when you make a statement like that, too, because I agree with you, is that, like, I'm sure that there was a movie made before this that we're unaware of that does it, but it wasn't big like this.
And the key word, unaware.
Exactly. I think what's important...
makes everybody aware.
Exactly.
It's the whole theory of, like, you don't get famous for the idea, you get famous for succeeding with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if this is the one that succeeded, then this is in fact the first one.
If I was saying, listen, I'm going to go Rambo style on this.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm talking
you know exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Going one man, I'm going to take over everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you got, Drew?
So mine is that this movie has three of the worst villains of all time in it.
Three of or the three?
Three of. Okay. I don't know about the absolute worst three, but I like hated all three of them.
So Murdoch.
Murdoch, I just wanted to see him die, and he didn't. Which is another thing about Charles Napier, is you just see him come on screen, and like I hadn't seen the movie in years. I didn't really remember it well. And I'm like, I know he's going to be a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks like a bad guy.
Right.
And he's hanging out with the guy from The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
So he's got to be bad guy.
The dojo master.
And then the Vietnamese guy doesn't even say one line in English, although he does kill the lady, which is like that one moment. And he has the most epic death, I think, of all of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Russian guy, which is... Yeah.
Right.
Steven Berkoff of Beverly Hills Cop fame.
Yeah.
The Russian guy, I definitely was imagining as I was watching. I was like, you should be played by the questionably gay guy from Commando that wears the chainmail and has the knife.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Bennett.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that guy. I don't think he's questionably. I think he's full-blown.
The thing I loved about this was America's two biggest villains. You got the Vietnamese, basically, the time of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And he doubles it up, brings the Russians in.
I know.
It's like,
in.
Let's bring on both the things that America hates and just take them on.
Well, he went with the Russians because Rocky Four was coming out that year, too. So he's like, let's double up here.
Yeah, whole hog.
Yeah, let's get it going.
It was originally supposed to be Dolph Lundgren, too.
I know. That's the crazy part.
I think it would have been better.
And they bought out his contract. I like Steven Berkoff, though. Maybe Dolph Lundgren as the Russian muscle guy.
Yeah.
More or less the guy who was tying Rocky or Rambo up to the electrical socket.
Sure.
Thingamajig or whatever that was.
I think when you say like Napier is evil, you see him. You see Napier and you're evil.
Yeah.
Karate Kid guy is evil.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're hanging out together. Yeah. So you see him together, you're like, okay, I got it. Figured it out.
You see him, and he's like ultimately represents like you're a douchebag, man.
Right? Yeah,
you should be like stealing my girlfriend on the beach, right?
Yeah, his face rests on like douchebag look.
Yeah,
like he's the guy. I'm like, honey, I'm gonna go get a snow cone, and he's like that guy. Like he comes in. And it's like those little cartoons in the back of comic books where there's the scrawny guy and the muscle guy.
Yeah,
he's the muscle guy.
Quick side note: the guy from Karate Kid in Karate Kid 3 says he's in Vietnam, and that's why him and the villain Karate Kid 3 are like, oh, remember. And Nam together, you saved my ass a few times. I'm going to help you get back at this LaRusso kid. I think it might be the same character.
Oh, wow. Interesting. That's good. That's a good callback.
Alter universe article that needs to be written.
Well, Stallone probably had a hand in that.
So I'm going to ask, what is your bold statement?
It's the first action movie where the hero wore no shirt for like 75% of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
you're serious about it.
I am pretty serious about it. But, and then Commando followed suit, and then everybody else followed suit. I really think, there's like a magical realism to this movie. There's a magical realism. I really believe that this may have happened out there.
Oh, God, I can't wait until we get to the categories.
I mean, You know, something like this has to – I mean, I do believe there's probably still POWs over there. I mean, at this point in 85, what are we, 13 years right. removed from the war or something like that?
Is it set, though? Is it set in 85 or is it set earlier?
No, I think it's –
I think it's set in 85.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's definitely after the war.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. I don't know. Like I said, I believe this movie, Hook, Line, and Sinker. The action was unparalleled. Stallone was just – this is what – I mean, obviously, I love Rocky and Rambo are my first – two favorite Stallone movies, but this is the one that put him like, this guy is an ultimate badass, over the top.
Yeah,
this guy's a star. The action, yeah. Action. This one, the action made him the action hero that he is. I think, in my opinion,
I'm gonna say that if you look at the genre of action movies that mm-hmm. existed largely between somewhere we can call it somewhere in the mid 80s, I'm gonna mm-hmm. start it with this movie though specifically,
mm-hmm.
And maybe lasted till around 2000-2001, sort of like the Bruckheimer golden age of action movies. Just inflated by ego and muscle. Mm-hmm. This is the most iconic one ever made in the genre.
Absolutely.
I think this is the movie you would trace it all back to. So whatever you want to call that, if this is the architecture of the genre, that's fine. That's essentially what I believe.
I think also this is like the first really action movie where steroids were like really used on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in this movie was on steroids. And Ko, the Asian girl, was on steroids.
They're all jacked.
Came with
every single one of them. Stallone's probably like, listen, we're going to do 6 months of prep here. If you don't come in with like at least 20-inch biceps and your calves ain't bulging out, we're going to have a big, big problem.
You're off the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's probably like, we're doing 6 months of prep. Like, okay, so script revisions? He's like, no, just in the gym. Just meet me in the gym. With the script's written. I wrote it 7 years ago when I was... I already wrote it when I was doing softcore porn. We don't need to revise the script. Just work out with me and the movie's going to be great.
And then he just throws out that piece of that paper thing where like all the needles fly out.
Let's get started.
Yeah. I feel like the casting call was in a gym.
Yeah, it was.
Like, read Stallone. A line, do 300.
That's where Stallone finds his people.
All right. So those are our thesis statements. I do want to get into one other opinion-based segment before we just sort of get into the full breakdown of the movie. And this is star profiles. So this is kind of an interesting one because Stallone, as we were talking about earlier off camera, he's really famous for two franchises. That's the movies that matter. Like, mm-hmm. there's a couple other movies here and there in his career that you pay attention to for sure. But really when it comes down to it, it's Rocky and Rambo.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about his most recent hits before this movie, well, it's Rocky IV came out the same year. Mm-hmm. And you have Rocky III in 82. And you have First Blood, which is the first installment of the Rambo franchise, mm-hmm. in also 82. So it's just Rambo and Rocky movies. That's all he was doing.
Writing and starring in his own movies, just back to back to back.
It's a dream.
He just gets to keep the same hair. Well, no, that's not true.
It's a little different.
It's a little different.
A little different, a little bit.
He just gets to stay jacked. That's pretty much all it is.
Yeah.
You know you made an iconic character when your first movie is called First Blood.
Yeah.
And the second movie is called Rambo First Blood.
Right,
just like Raiders of the Lost Ark became Indiana Jones.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
That's how you know you created an iconic character.
Absolutely.
One thing that I do think is... interesting. So First Blood's a very good movie. Like, mm-hmm. it's not... Wow. First Blood is I would call, like, less of an action movie, more of a drama.
That's just more of a real movie.
That's just a character piece.
Yeah.
A big character study.
Yeah.
Almost like a four-man play between Brian Dennehy, Krenna, Stallone, and the other cat.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable stuff.
I really enjoy First Blood, and I think Dennehy does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love Dennehy.
Great.
Krenna has, like, this really great way of playing the general, where he's just... he's sort of cardboard, but it's this really lovable cardboard. Mm-hmm. I almost think it's more of a character choice than an actual, like, the actress chops.
Mm-hmm.
He's this very old school. Because what's interesting about this stuff and, like, a war movie from this time is, you know, you're making this in the mid-80s, so the number of, like, vets and people that are in their 50s that had actual experience either in the war or their dad, it's, like, way, way closer to that sort of, like, John Wayne, really strong male character generation. It wasn't this generation we're in now where war is this very abstract concept for young people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really interesting when you see like a character like the General or a character like Rambo, they're kind of they're relatable in the way that John Wayne was the square jaw, didn't talk much kind of a character. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a machismo there that you don't see in characters nowadays, right? Yeah.
And Rambo 1, I mean, he had a couple of lines in the beginning and then it was just killing everybody after that. We're not really killing, just hurting people really bad.
Right. So this movie picks up right after the end of a very quality drama and the tone is totally flipped.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Completely flipped.
Like you said, it starts with an explosion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he visits him in jail. He's got super long hair now.
Mm-hmm.
I think his sleeves were torn off. He's pounding rock all day.
Yeah.
And basically, like, I got a mission for you to get you out of here.
Yeah.
I did everything I could to get you out. I want you to know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Stallone doesn't even say anything. He's like, he just gives nods.
No, he does say something. He says the exact line that Predator says, where he says, "Why no? Why me?" Yeah. And it, which is the same line that Schwarzenegger says. He's like, "Why now? Why me?" And then Carl Weathers goes, "Because some damn fool accused you of being the best." So
he'll tell you. What this one, it's a computer that picks him out, right? Like he's like one of three people that they found in their database.
Yeah, yeah. It is. Yeah,
and then like a sweet green computer. It's like,
and there's
Rambo.
Like a so good smash cut to Rambo for his blood too. Yeah. Like with fire.
It's funny, like him and. You know, Troutman have like almost like a Jedi thing.
Yeah.
Because in one, going back to one, when like Rambo, when they blow the little cave up the mine, mm-hmm. Troutman just like smells the air and he's like, he's still alive. like, yeah, he's alive.
They're a great duo and they capitalize this in the third one when they have to fight together.
Yeah.
There's like the sweet shots of them with their shirts off firing guns.
Yeah. That's what you needed. After the first two movies, you're like, I need to see these two fighting together.
Of course.
Yes. Troutman's like the ultimate hype man. That's all he does. Yeah. He hypes him up.
Yeah.
He's like, you going after him? Remember one thing. Yeah. What's that? A lot of body bags. I'm like, this guy.
He's the only one I trust.
He thinks I make a Billy Goat puke.
Yeah.
That's really good stuff.
Oh, man.
So then Richard Crenna was really, he died in 03, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a 76, but I mean, it says, you know, his three previous movies were The Flamingo Kid, Table for Five, and First Blood. Mm-hmm. So obviously we've all seen First Blood. I want to say that I have seen The Flamingo Kid.
Yeah, it's from Matt Dillon. Yeah. He's like a little gigolo, and it's almost like Saturday Night Fever-ish, you know?
Yeah.
He like has a job in like Brooklyn and goes into like the Hamptons and starts working at these beach clubs and stuff like that. It's actually really really good movie.
It sounds familiar. I'm pretty sure it's been on cable before.
I was going to say, it's a cable movie for me for sure. Probably like 10 years ago.
It basically made Matt Dillon for the most part. Hmm. I mean, okay. I thought it was My Bodyguard with... Chris Makepeace, but they think it was this one.
Do you guys Table for Five? Does that ring a bell for anybody?
No. You know, when I think about him in other movies, the only one that comes to mind was Summer Rental with John Candy. Hmm. He played the landlord guy that John Candy's going against. Mm-hmm. He did a great job playing like this real scumbag landlord villain. And that's really the only thing that comes to my mind besides the Rambo movies.
The crazy part, Crenna was... he filled in like 3 days before his shooting started on the original Rambo.
That's right. Douglas.
Kirk Douglas dropped out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Interesting.
That's great. Yeah. I'm so happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kirk Douglas is great, but come on.
Yeah, well, he wanted Rambo dead, and they're like, no, we need a franchise here.
Yeah, Crenna's like, he's perfect for the role. He's like almost as memorable in a lot of ways. Like, he's just super, he's a super memorable character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two of those guys stand out, like, always. Like, Rambo and the Colonel.
Yeah, it's their thing.
Well, yeah, and it's like the way that, like, in MacGruber, it's like a spoofed as the general. Yeah. And it's like a great spoof because he's such a great character, you know what I mean? And it's like we said, there's this franchise is responsible for a lot of that stuff. Because that general, that loyal general character, it's another trope that we see, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Troutman played himself, basically, in Hot Shots Part 2.
Yes.
Okay. He played his same character from Rambo. But the Charlie Sheen,
and I loved it.
I love seeing him just taking that character. It shows he knew how ridiculous it was.
Yeah,
right.
Loved that.
It was amazing.
So then we have Charles Napier. We don't have a lot listed here, but looks like he honorable mention. Or
I mean, it's just a talk because we usually only do two stars.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it's important to mention that, you know, because this guy was a big part of the movie.
He was
had a big impact on it, but his career hadn't really started yet. It was in the very, very beginning of his career.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he worked like crazy.
Right. Yep. Yeah, he had a stretch there for sure. All right, so I want to kind of get into production development with this.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we said, you know, Stallone, everybody kind of knows the Stallone story, right? He was a writer before he was successful. He had written the first four Rocky movies before he even got the first one made. I believe Rambo, he was already working on phases of it. He had ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a guy who really, by the time this had happened, he had like sort of seen the actualization of like most of his dreams, I think. When you're looking at the second Rambo movie and Rocky IV is coming out, you know what I mean? The first one won the Oscar. This is 10 years after Rocky I, right? 76 is Rocky I?
Yep.
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 10 years later, he's definitely riding high. And I think it's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is like the peak of his career.
Yeah,
he could do it. He's an incredibly successful guy. Like, this stretch.
He had first crack at any movie he wanted.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we're talking like Officer and a Gentleman. We're talking like...
Oh, right. He turned down so many huge roles.
Yes. Oh, huge roles. He made a lot of people's careers. A lot of people out here have a lot to you know, they owe him a lot, including myself.
His two most successful movies ever were both this year.
Yeah.
Rocky IV and Rambo II were both 1985.
Yeah. This was the pinnacle of his success at this point.
Oh yeah, and those movies were massive. We'll talk about it when we get into the box office, but huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, James Cameron had a role in this as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He actually wrote the original script, right? And the two of them then collaborated, and I think as he says it, What, Cameron says something about the politics.
Yeah,
right?
He says, James Cameron says, I wrote the action, Stallone wrote the politics.
I mean, we're paraphrasing, obviously, but yeah. Essentially that's, you know, and that's pretty evident, I think, when you look at, like, if you look at the cover of Rocky IV, right, he's draped in an American flag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Just, like, the amount of, like, patriotism and just, like, hardcore America that goes into these two movies.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. It's just riddled with it, just everywhere.
It's the era, too.
Yeah, it's like the end of the Cold War mm-hmm. type stuff. I mean, he capitalizes on stuff.
And right. One of the more interesting things about James Cameron's part was he actually originally wrote the script he's with a team. He's with, like, a group of mercenaries that goes in with the POWs to find them. And Stallone nixed it. He's like, no.
He just didn't even say anything. He just went in like this.
He said one.
No.
And then Cameron took some of the side characters that he wrote for that movie and used it in Aliens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The sequel to Aliens. So some of the Marines in Aliens were some of the characters that were supposed to originally kind of be in Rambo.
He took a few things that Stallone didn't want in the movie. Like the beginning, instead of being like chiseling rock, which is way more badass.
Yes. Sure.
They wanted him to be in a psychiatric hospital. Which they ended up using in Terminator.
Right.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with Beverly Hills Cop. They gave it to Stallone. He was going to star in it. He wrote like this crazy, like kind of killing thing going on, and they're like, "We don't want that." And Stallone used the rest for Cobra.
Cobra, yeah.
Turned into Cobra, right.
Who George, what is his name? George Costanza.
Cosmasis.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who directed Cobra?
Cobra and
Split.
Yeah. What I was going to say is, you talk about the stuff that you're like borrowing from movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a lot of ways, these two movies start the same way, and it's basically Predator and this movie. And obviously they differ because Predator ends up being like an alien thing.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, if it's a group of people going in, it gets even more similar to Predator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just super, super formulaic, these movies.
Absolutely.
It's so much better that it wasn't a group. Like, when you're going through watching the movie, it's like, really? Is this really happening?
Yeah, it's got a tour guide, a girl tour guide, which was thrown through everybody for a loop. And they rescued like 40,000 POWs.
Yeah.
Thank God he's a language specialist, so he can speak Vietnamese.
She has some good lines.
Yeah.
This was her first movie ever.
Yeah. Was it really?
Oh,
yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She had a couple other ones, too, after that. That was about it, though. She's cute.
Yeah, Julia Nixon.
That's exactly what it is. She's cute. She probably married, like, a producer and, like, had a bunch of babies.
Yeah, right.
So, Stallone, and I believe Stallone was a producer on this. I'm sure he was.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he was.
But it was mainly the team.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. We could talk about that. So, Mario Kasser and Andrew G. Vajna.
Yeah.
These guys met, I know his name is dangerous, right?
Vajna.
Mario produced his very first movie when he was 18, and that's how he met Andrew. Mm. And these guys kind of teamed up and started to just delve right into the action genre. And they worked on tons of movies together. You know, you got Die Hard with a Vengeance, Tombstone, Total Recall, Judge Dredd, The 13th Warrior, Terminator Rise of the Machines, Terminator Salvation. And that was the last thing they did. I think after they saw Terminator 3 and 4, they're like, all right, these guys, we gotta let's nix their career.
And Tomb Raider also directed, I'm sorry, not Tomb Raider, totally different movie. Tombstone was also directed by George Lucas.
Now Tombstone's a classic.
Love Tombstone.
Oh, yeah, movie's great.
Fantastic.
Tombstone is, it'd be hard to justify it on this show, but I'd like to do it anyway.
It's one of the best westerns.
Well, Dana Delaney is one of my favorite women of all time.
That movie is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of just like one-liners, it's just great. But anyway,
we digress.
Directed by George P. Cosmatos. Is that what you say?
Cosmatos.
Costanza.
Costanza.
I think in terms of production development, I mean, there's a documentary made about this movie that I haven't watched called, I think, We Get to Win This Time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the DVD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't watched it, but it sounds pretty interesting. I mean, definitely it sounds like Stallone was, I watched like a behind the scenes video this morning for about 20 minutes, and it's funny when you watch this. You watch this movie and you watch behind the scenes. You watch how seriously like he was taking the artistry on set of like just sort of the standing around, the direction, the paying attention.
Right.
It's almost hard to fathom taking what's going on very seriously when you watch this movie because it's so hectic. It's so violent. There's so little like real acting. It seems, you know.
Was he talking about like the actual filmmaking? Because as a production level, I think the movie, it was nominated for, I think, best sound and best editing that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think
Oscar nomination.
When I watched this, I watched it growing up. And when I went to film school and I revisited it during film school with some friends, that's when it hit me. It's like, wow, this movie's really well made.
Yeah.
It really, honestly, really is.
Some of the things might be a little over the top and, might be a little cheesy now, But just on a technical level, it's really well made.
For, especially for 1985. I mean, we're talking 30 years ago.
Yeah, you say it might be over the top. It might be. It's not quite there. And that's, that's testament to how well it was made.
Yeah. I'm going to be in total disagreement on that.
I mean, it's not a spoof. It's definitely not a spoof movie. That's for
definitely
sure.
Not. Yeah, it's definitely spoofable.
It's spoofable, that's for sure. And Tropic Thunder,
it's
I think.
It's like almost there.
I think Tropic Thunder took a lot from this movie.
I'm gonna, and that's why we said. That's why I said it's the architecture. It's the head of the movie. I will say this. I'm gonna go on record. I watched this movie two times between the time I was like 10 years old and the time I was 20. I remember seeing it twice, and then this was the third time I'd seen it preparing for the show. And I have to say, watching it this time, I was like, "This is not like it's not good on the level that other movies in the genre to me are good."
No. Wait, so you saw it three times? You're saying total?
Yes.
Okay, add two zeros to that. And that's about right.
Probably. Yeah.
I mean, there are movies that I could get in the same conversation with you.
Yeah.
But, and I don't mean that it's bad. I just mean that it's not good on the level of some movies that I would sort of talk about it. I was expecting to talk about this in the same breath as maybe Speed or True Lies.
Right.
I mean, it's not Apocalypse Now. I mean, it's not The Deer Hunter or anything like that. But, I mean, it's got the war, the action in this is fantastic.
Yeah, you think about the time. And even now, I mean, I definitely had a few drinks when I watched the movie, and I was like, yes.
It's the way to do it.
Yes, this is awesome.
It's the way to do it.
Hey, speaking of, we got to talk about our fist pump moment,
did we skip fist
pump
moment?
That's big.
Oh.
What is going on?
Okay.
I got mine, yeah.
Yeah,
we will. We'll get into box office critical in just a minute. Let's get into fist pump moments. I'm going to reverse the order, and I'm going to go with you, sir.
Okay, let's do it. I'm going to go back to the general, who's just such a weasel.
He looks like
so. He pulls out, you know, shooting. Stallone's like when it on the culmination of like the battle, right, with the Vietnamese guy. Mm-hmm. Stallone's just standing on this rock, like in the sunlight, all greased up.
Right,
you know, reaches back,
muscle butter.
This guy's like shooting this guy with like pea shooters and doing everything like that, and it's you know, the shots off the rocks and everything. Stallone like takes the like nuclear
tip.
It's like this. Looking at the guy's still shooting, and the guy finally runs away, and then the guy just blows into smithereens.
Yeah.
What I love about that, it tells you how
it's the best.
It tells you how great a soldier is because he knows the weapon he's using cannot accurately hit him at the distance.
At that distance. And so if it does, it's only going to hit him in the leg and bounce off his calf anyway.
Yeah, exactly. He's basically bulletproof from that distance.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he's like, nothing's going to go.
It's the most confident arrow.
Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if, like, they shot it and, like, Stallone, like, last dragging the bullet in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then still shot this guy dead. And it was point-blank range right in the middle of his spine.
He's
toast.
Put some live ammo on
that. Yeah, that was my fist bump moment.
I always thought, and you guys know Con Air when Nick Cage is walking through the plane.
Yeah.
And he's, like, going up to the guy and he just shoots him in the arm. He doesn't even move.
Yeah.
Doesn't even flinch. I was like, that is so badass. And I went back and watched this and I was like, this is the original.
Yeah.
This is the best here.
Mm-hmm. This did it.
So, interestingly enough, on that point, I just want to add is like, when you say like, you know how great of a soldier he is, I do think it's super, super interesting if you track the evolution of action movies and what we expect out of our action stars from then to now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back at the beginning, it would have been like, we need to, like, at the very, very beginning of action movies, it would have been like, this guy's just going to be, like, a super badass. He'll do everything. We don't have to explain why he's able to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then with this one, it's like, when he's chained up and he's, like, looking around to make his exit, he's like, or no, he's not chained up. I think he's on the boat. He's like, that guy's got a gun. That guy's got a gun. He's, like, surveying the landscape, makes his escape. Now you can flash forward, you know, into the 90s or whatever. It's like, or we'll say, like, Jason Bourne's the next good example where Bourne doesn't have to show you that way, but he's like, there's a guy that weighs 220 over there, there's a guy that weighs 119 over there, the guy has a shotgun under the bar, and the guy behind me knows how to handle himself.
It's like, he's like, I know that right now I could leave this place and run flat for 7 miles or something like that before getting tired.
So that he gets to do that. Yeah. I feel like nowadays we're almost back to a point where we don't need any exposition. Now the guys will just do it again.
All you need is two words. In the Rambo movies, they set it up. Green Beret.
Yeah.
It's like saying, you know,
right. Navy SEAL.
It's even bigger than Navy SEAL team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we always talk about how in the 90s, the 80s and 90s were all about like three things. C4, silencers, and red dot lasers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, it's kind of the same thing. Navy SEAL and Green Beret back then in movies meant so much. They had so much weight.
Yeah, and you throw like a Purple Heart in it, forget about it.
Oh, God.
Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah, you get that. You're in. Yeah.
Which probably leads into what do you have for you?
So my fist pump moment is, my favorite line is right before, and I'll get into that later, but my actual fist pump moment is when the first 15 minutes of this movie is just straight prerequisites to how this guy is just the biggest badass there is out there. And it's just talking about him, and it's like, all right, I'm going to do it. And then it just cuts to him, like, sharpening this massive Bowie knife, you know, and then, like, he's just jacked. I mean, it was in the trailer. It's the first thing that's in there is this scene that I'm talking about. So it cuts to him doing that. He's, like, tying his shoes, putting a big knife and a little knife away, putting his camera in the bag, and you're just like, yes, this is so awesome.
Yep.
In my notes, I describe this as checklist montage. Knife, boots, guns, explosives. Yes!
I'm ready.
So I got everything.
The vague explosives with quotations that happen in 90s movies. You can just write explosives on a box. That's all we need.
Then we got good. C4. C4 was the next one they used for like 20 years.
Yeah,
it's out now. Now they're using it. Now they're using like nuclear bombs.
I'll let you go first. I'll go last.
Okay. My moment. I love when guys reach that moment of pure primal rage where they just gun down everything.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've seen it done with a helicopter. There's an amazing scene where the helicopter is just doing a 360, and he's hitting every button on that goddamn helicopter. He's shooting missiles, machine guns. And as the helicopter, there's one great shot. It's a wide shot, too. I love. The helicopter's doing a 360. Everything's exploding that's in its path. And Stallone is yelling.
Yeah.
He's yelling. No one can hear him.
No one can hear him in the helicopter.
He's like, ah!
Yeah, he's releasing everything.
And he's unloading everything that this helicopter has on this little camp that the Vietnamese have. And I'm just like, that is
awesome. It probably wasn't even scripted. It's probably like, hey, look, at about 2 o'clock, he's going to go on a roid rage. I don't know what's going to happen.
He might just
fly to own helicopter and then, like, just go bananas.
I mean, also, just from, like, you know, shooting that scene, they have to set up all the explosives.
Yeah.
They literally have to have this thing synced up perfectly as this thing is rotating. Everything has to explode just in the same pattern. I think it's a great action scene altogether.
And Absolutely. Everything explodes.
Everything.
Literally everything explodes.
I do think it's interesting what you said. I hadn't really ever thought about that. I always thought about this movie as like one of the silly, spoofable movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, entertaining. Definitely good. And we would never do a movie on the show if it wasn't good. The baseline to do a movie on the show is that it has to be a good movie.
Yeah.
But I always thought of it as in the really silly camp. But when you do talk about the technical action stuff, it does make a lot more sense that it was probably very well done for the time.
To execute that, forget about it. If you look at the credits, there's like 4,000 prop people and PAs and all these kind of cats, like stunt people. It's a long list of people. It's a big movie.
Yeah.
There's not many movies you can compare to this movie beforehand. Like, there's war movies like Apocalypse Now and like Platoon was afterwards, but there's war movies, but an action movie I love the fact that he introduced a knife and a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Yes.
He is, I mean, no other.
It's hand-to-hand combat.
It's just so genius. Like, you see Rambo knife, I never see a knife like that used in a movie.
Yeah.
He used that thing for everything.
Absolutely.
And then the bow and arrow, like, who would have thought to make an action movie
with a bow and arrow?
In Vietnam.
Oh, and they're always so badass. Like, bow and arrows are awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whenever I see something with a bow and arrow now, like, I see Hawkeye and I'm just like, Rambo started all this.
Even crossbows, like, you see the guy from Walking Dead, every time he whips a crossbow,
die. Yeah, even in Punisher, when he uses the bow and arrow at the end, I'm like, this is my favorite part.
Exactly. I think of Rambo.
It's character. You know, it's character arc. It's character, like, building. I mean, if you could do that, you know this guy can knock you out with, like, his pinky.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love that the bow and arrow in this movie, too, about the sound editing, it just sounds like a gun going off every time. Like, am I hearing this wrong? And every single time, it's like, no, it's a gun. It's a gun sound every time he shoots it.
And then he puts the little arrowheads with explosives. You hear a little tick, 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 tick.
Amazing.
What kind of nitrogen is in these things that allows an explosion the size of, like, the house?
You know what? Stallone's blood.
Tip.
It's his blood.
It's just blood.
Cut himself open.
Blood.
Cut himself open. Just one little drip.
Okay, so my fist pump moment is that this is my favorite. So
much steroids in it.
It jumps onto a line earlier when he's like, Murdoch is being like, we have all the highest level equipment for you. And I want you to let the equipment do most of the work here, John. And he's like, and he says, I've always felt that the mind is the best weapon. He's like, times change, like, for some people. So
it's the best.
I like that because you're like, oh, their outfit. And in a helicopter, because you've seen the movie, you've seen the trailer, you know that he doesn't wear anything.
Yeah.
So in the helicopter, he's fully outfitted in gear.
Yeah.
He's got a backpack. He's got, like, all kinds of stuff. And he gets hung up on the plane. He's like, he's caught. And I was like, I'm watching this. Like, he's kind of like, I don't remember this. And then he's like, we're going to have to cut the gear loose. Yeah. I was like, oh, he's going to be stranded by himself. He's not going to be wearing any clothes. He's not going to have a gun. He's just going to be by himself on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's excellent.
And I was like, this is great. Yeah, I was like, of course.
Yep.
Of course. Yes. Right? That's what has to happen.
That's like the line of MacGruber. He's like, here's the gun, MacGruber. He's like, I don't use guns. Guns are for the stupid. Guns are for the weak. No offense.
it's a good movie. I like that flick.
Yeah, Forte's great in that. So that wraps up Fist Bump Moment. So we will jump back into production, which is going to be we're going to talk about box office now.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, as we already said, this movie was one of the two highest grossing films of Stallone's career. This and Rocky IV, which mm-hmm. both came out in 1985. This was the second highest grossing movie of 1985, mm-hmm. behind Back to the Future. We have a graphic of the top 10. We'll throw on up
totally
on the screen for
movies.
You guys.
Totally different movie, but Back to the Future deserved it. That was just a phenomenal film.
Yeah, it's very, very good. So that there was those two.
Oh, wow.
This movie made. Yeah, there you go.
Well, The Color Purple and Out of Africa.
Cocoon and Nile.
Cocoon made that
so
much
long.
Money?
The Goonies. Look at the Goonies up there.
Yes.
Goonies is classic.
And Spies Like Us.
Spies Like Us. And I love that. That was the first DVD I ever owned was Spies Like Us.
Spies Like Us, I feel like, is an oft-forgotten comedy. It's like people don't really talk about it very
it's
often.
Great.
Yeah, it's very
what
funny.
A fantastic
year.
Top 10, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's pretty amazing
Spies
stuff.
Spies Like Us is a dick for. It's like, don't you know?
Yeah. Man, Rock and Ramble right there. 2 and
yeah.
3.
Yeah, I mean, this year for Stallone was just insane.
He made so much money in 1985.
Yeah. I tried to look exactly how much money he made in 85, and I couldn't find it. If you guys find it, please comment and let me know, because I just want to know. Each of those movies made $300 million
in
85.
In 85.
In 85.
I mean, that's like that's the equivalent. He's the writer. He is the writer. He is the producer. He's the star.
Mm-hmm.
Of two franchises,
mm-hmm.
and they both made $300 million.
Well, little known fact, that graphic right there is tattooed on Stallone's back.
You know,
but Rocky, where it says Rambo and Rocky, it's like, really, it's in bold.
You know what? I just remembered this. I have a vintage Rolling Stone magazine from 1985 where they did a piece on Stallone.
Yeah.
And they show, like, his mansion. At this time, he was with Bridget.
Oh, yeah, Bridget Nielsen, yeah.
I mean, the photos of this guy's house were unbelievable.
In 85.
In 85. Yeah. Like, this dude was living... just another level of life that I'll never reach.
It's he was unparalleled.
Don't shortchange yourself, man.
I mean,
you can still do it.
I would take Frank's life. Just, I mean, Frank got so much runoff. You know about it.
Good point.
So this movie made $300 million total. I believe the budget was
44 million. Yeah.
$44 million.
Now it would be 190.
Oh yeah,
probably
yeah.
more.
And it probably wouldn't be any better.
It probably wouldn't
be worse.
It
I mean, you
be,
saw
it probably would be
Rambo.
Worse.
It was pretty awesome.
It was good
in sense, but
it was so violent.
Yeah. It was the last movie.
I love
he
just like cuts people in half with his machete, like all the time.
it opens up. They're like killing kids and stuff. It's hardcore.
Yeah, it's intense.
It was the last movie I actually went to where people actually stood up. Like during the movie, and we're clapping when
oh,
Rambo
really?
Came out
oh, yeah.
and like saved the guys with like the three shots in the
yep.
the crossbow again. I mean, the he's like, dun, dun, and everybody.
Yep.
That was a fist bump moment in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
We'll
I can't wait for the next
we'll
one.
We'll have to get to that movie someday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
It was right. brutal.
It is interesting oh, yeah. and sad, though. Like, as we said, this was the highest grossing Rambo movie of all time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second highest grossing was Rambo 3.
Ugh.
But
yeah,
it's
that's the worst one.
Because the expectations were there. That's why.
Yeah. And 2008, Rambo did not make as much money as
it didn't do well.
Yeah. It did pretty decently though, because everybody thought it was going to tank.
Yeah,
I think
mean,
it did almost 100.
It did well. It had a low budget too.
But and it did a lot of international.
Yes,
which
exactly.
was good.
So this was the highest grossing R-rated movie of 1985.
Yeah,
And also the first movie to open in 2,000 plus theaters.
Right, and I think that shows because it also had the biggest opening weekend of the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the number two was Rocky IV. In November. This came out in May.
Yeah, the world was ready to explode at that point.
Yeah.
And they needed something like Rambo.
It's funny to me that they both have these very patriotic... they both have these very patriotic speeches at the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. I also like that Stallone was involved in the writing for both movies and starred both movies.
Yes.
And the formula for how both movies ends is the same.
Yeah, just a huge speech at the end.
It's just great. A big, sappy... Apparently, during filming, the final speech in this movie, when he's just like... He's like, what we all want? I don't know the line exactly, but... apparently there's a take that's around, that's floating around where
I was looking for it.
Yeah, he breaks down crying in one of the takes.
Kind of like the first movie.
Yeah, he's like sobbing as he's saying it to the general.
But he might have been doing it for real.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah.
If you guys can find that, please link it to me because I would love to see. I looked for like maybe 20 minutes. I probably could have looked a little harder, but I wanted to see that and I wonder if it would have been better.
I think
like
it might have been
stoic, but to see that moment of him breaking would have been super emotional and great.
I agree with that.
I don't know, because the last speech in this movie, it's very anger filled.
Yeah,
and right. I think that kind of worked for what was going on in the movie. But again, I would totally be interested in seeing that.
Maybe tears of rage.
Yeah, maybe they didn't want him to cry because, you know, America was under turmoil at that time. They're like, if Rambo's crying, right. You know, if the Soviets see Rambo crying, you're going to come here and just destroy everybody.
Yeah, we're done.
Like, Rambo's done.
Cold War.
Can't show any weakness.
Rambo, yeah, no weakness.
Yeah, I do think it is funny that, like, I don't really want to go down that road. We'll save that for the end. Let's get back into Critical. So this movie was compared to First Blood, which was, I wouldn't want to call it a critical darling, but First Blood was kind of a surprise.
It's got incredible reviews.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. This movie was kind of a departure critically. I think people reviewed it at the time, maybe more in the way that I'm reviewing it now, which is like watching it and feeling it's a little silly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it felt so much more dated when I watched it now. It felt just more laughable than it did back then.
I think it's easy to overlook those small details that we keep bringing up on the show. I mean, that's one thing that happens. That's why I love this show so much, is you go back and you find a respect for these movies that people just kind of throw away. It's like, right. Oh, it's just a crappy action movie. Like, think about it. A helicopter. He fakes crashing a helicopter.
Right, blah, blah, blah. Right.
But then you go back and you talk about, you know, the everything being perfectly choreographed with filming and the helicopter spinning. And, like, let's say they did think about the gun and, like, he's such a great soldier. He knows he can't hit him. Like, these are things to really respect about a movie that you completely forget about.
And they were actual real explosions back then, too. Like,
yeah.
It was not CGI like they're doing now.
Yeah, the movie was actually dedicated to one of the stuntmen that died during an explosion in the film.
Yeah, I mean, with Mad Max being hailed for as much like practical effects as it is, it is incredible to go back 30 years and watch a movie that, you know, it's full of it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no CG. But I was one of the things that I had thought of, and a more positive review of this movie, is that, you know, because of the nature of this movie, because they decided to go so over the top with the action, you don't really get a lot of moments where Stallone actually has a chance to act. But even though I do think the writing in the romance scene is poor, I think it's poorly written.
Yeah.
He does a fine job. He's actually believable. And I actually do think that Stallone, I mean, everybody knows Stallone's a good actor when he tries, or at least he had a long stretch there in the 80s and 90s when he was pretty solid. You don't really see it ever anymore.
No.
But in some of the Rocky scenes, definitely the first one.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
First
Blood,
for sure. You know, he's a very good actor.
And for this movie, the boat scene between him and her,
I think
it's a very good moment.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
he's just playing with a knife.
What is expendable? He's like, you know, it's when someone invites you to party, but if you don't show up, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah,
that's
such a great line.
I was like, dude, that's fantastic. The best way to describe
that. I was sold. Yeah. So was she. She was sold on that. She's like, if I live here, I'm going to tear you apart. But get back to the States. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
Cliff Winger Jr. I just want to give him a shout out. That's the guy that died during filming.
Oh,
I
want to
just mention and, you know, I want to give him a name. So.
Sure. This is rated the worst Rambo movie by critics.
It is. Yeah.
Really? Worse than 3?
Yeah. Yeah, 3 barely beat it on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which is, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I'm going to go Rambo on Rotten Tomatoes Studios.
Yeah, right?
I need to fix this. I'm going there.
Go
just
out
like
there.
The end of this movie, I'm coming up shooting every computer with an
860. Great. I hope you yell.
Like
I'm
going to
yell.
So you better yell the whole time.
Great, Drake.
Walk in,
I'm coming to get you.
Walk in the room, look right at him like... Oh, I'll talk.
You can only use a gun if you rip it off of a helicopter.
I'm going to land the helicopter on top of the building.
Yeah.
Grab the M60 off and tear through the offices.
Wrap all the bolts around your arm and just...
Get a dart bow and arrow.
So I want to get into the ultimate action scene. And for us, the ultimate action scene in this movie is pretty much the sequence after she dies where he goes bananas.
Last 20 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
Kills everyone. You know, it is interesting this movie's 90 minutes long. It's appropriate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was watching it, and
it's
I was like...
It's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, but it's like so many... You don't ever get movies that are less than 2 hours nowadays. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stallone movies are very quick. They always are.
Yeah, this was good.
And he ended it well.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that thing with most of these movies that we talk about where like the last 20 minutes you're like, God, please just finish this. Is this really necessary? The end of this movie, you're like, yes, this is exactly what I want.
It's like his body. He cuts the fat out.
Yeah.
Well, there's
pretty much what it comes down to. Yeah, all of it.
There's that stupid third act choice that happens in so many of these movies where you're like, where, you know, he's chasing Dennis Hopper in the subway.
Of course.
Or like, you know, it's very hard to avoid because you have to wrap things up. I guess the equivalent in this movie would have been he gets back to base and he's chasing Murdoch around. He has to kill
him. Yeah, like Murdoch runs or
something
like that.
Yeah, like Murdoch has stupid producers come in.
Taking the general hostage or something.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That would have been terrible.
Yeah.
It's too many cooks in the kitchen in those kind of movies.
Let me say one thing about this movie. Remember when Die Hard came out? People said it's a more realistic hero because he gets hurt. He gets, you know, he cuts his feet.
Yeah.
He's, by the end of that movie, Bruce Willis is like he's...
Well, it's another movie Stallone passed on as well.
Destroyed in those movies. Yeah.
People kind of get lost in these Rambo movies. He goes through a lot of crap. He gets hurt and banged up. Yeah. There's that great scene in Rambo 3 where he gets a pipe through his rib cage. He has to flame it out with gunpowder.
Yeah.
This one, he gets captured. He gets tortured.
Yeah.
Electrocuted.
The leeches are on him.
To have him flex for about 5 minutes nonstop.
Absolutely.
He looks so jacked in that
insane.
Scene.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
He's 2% body fat. He forgot Frank's home number.
Look at him here.
Yeah.
This is a completely different person.
Completely different.
And this is still a Rocky. Yes. You know, this is Rocky.
That's Rocky, circa 77.
And same thing happened in First Blood. He falls down in a tree branch. He has to sew up his own arm.
Mm-hmm.
He's going through the maze.
That was badass.
I love that in all the Rambo movies, he's put through the ringer.
Yeah.
So he's not just this guy who walks in unscathed and destroys everybody. He always gets put through the ringer, and I think that builds up for the last action scene.
Then he hides in the sand.
What do we think is the most jacked Stallone ever?
Is it Rocky IV?
Rocky IV.
It's Rocky IV?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where he
he spent a little more time.
His abs had abs.
That's where he really he went down to 2% body fat or something. This is what Frank Stallone was telling me, and I do know him. It's true. He's like, he was roided out of his mind. He was like 2% body fat. He forgot like his home number. We were like, you got to start eating. And after that, he put on a little bit of weight because it wasn't good for his health.
Yeah.
It was just too shredded.
That's too
quote
lean.
Drago, he's like a piece of iron.
Yeah,
he was just like a piece of iron. Just
unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
It had to be that ripped to beat Drago in that movie.
Yeah,
of course.
It had to be.
He's insane.
Yeah, Drago's... just the
he killed Carl Weathers with a punch.
He did.
Okay?
Numerous ones.
You know, he was pretty huge.
He dies.
Yeah.
Rambo 3, I think it was just a couple years later. He's pretty jacked in that movie,
but it's more bulky.
Like, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
This one, he's only like 5'7".
Well, his hair is so much bigger than Rambo 3, too, so it's like,
that's true, too. That's when he went to that Hawaiian shirt stage.
Yeah.
With the white jeans and stuff like that. He's like going to Playboy Mansion every day.
I mean, his hair
gets
big.
It's like late 80s. It's like Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Beast Alone in the late 80s.
God, the man is a king.
Yeah.
He's a king amongst kings.
Just like thinking about his life,
All right, so let's get off his abs into the ultimate action.
I want to talk about his abs more.
So, ultimate action scene, this is probably where they spend the most money in terms of action and all the choreography and all the stuff. I actually have grabbed a clip we're going to show, which is not the real movie. It's actually a clip from UHF, the Weird Al film, spoofing it.
Underrated.
Yeah, very funny movie. The reason I chose to go with it is because the scene itself...
It's scene for scene, the end of the movie.
...is kind of absurd. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely, when we talk about this movie being over the top, this is the scene. So it's kind of long. We'll just play in the background. It's not really important to be able to hear it because it's really all visual.
But we will talk about
it. But we will... Yes.
And I'm so happy that it opens with the part that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the fist pump moment.
We're glitching. Anyway.
Technical difficulties.
Only
a
year ago. This is fine in here.
It's not a bad
body
suit.
Gotcha.
That's a pretty good body suit.
Yeah, no, it is a good body suit.
I thought it was real. This is exactly what we're talking about.
It's the best.
Boom.
So, see, that's pretty much what happens in the movie.
That is exactly what happens. Yeah. Maybe there's a few more feet in between them.
And the Vietnamese guy's got like a weird penciled in mustache.
Right.
He doesn't have one line in English in the whole movie.
Zero.
You hate it.
So, So this scene is definitely pretty intense. And there's a lot of things, as we suggested, that are kind of stolen from this scene. As we said, Predator has a lot of stuff that's borrowed from it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's the scene in this movie where he like comes out of the mud and all the clever traps that he sets.
Which is, when did you set these traps?
Right.
They've been chasing you like nonstop. You're escaping. And he's setting all these... I mean, he's Rambo.
But what trap was there besides the rope and then the mud?
Those two. Where do you have the time to do that?
To like sink yourself into the mud.
It's two words.
Into like a mud wall.
Green beret.
Yeah, green beret.
Green beret.
It's like MacGyver. Give me like a dry erase marker.
Yeah.
A Stallone compass. Yeah, cup and a broken TV.
Like in what world do you get to like basically hide in a vertical wall of mud?
Yeah.
And emerge without having to wipe your eyes.
Yeah, nothing. He just opens them.
You like emerge, eyes open. So your eyes have been open while you're in the mud.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best.
you like emerge and just like kill, you know, or like you're like hovering in the water below the helicopter.
Oh,
you're
able to like jump out, like, up and
grab the guy.
Yeah.
I love when he grabs the chicken, cuts the chicken's throat, uses the blood to lure him into the cornfield or whatever, and just sets him on fire.
Blazes it out with flamethrowers.
So good. Yeah, I love that.
So this is more of like when you said the one man army.
Mm-hmm.
This is like this to Commando. Probably the closest. Closest release, closest like movie that feels the same would be Commando, correct?
Mm-hmm. True.
Commando is absolutely absurd.
Yes,
there's there's nobody that would even begin to. But I mean, Schwarzenegger was like sort of more on that train. He was already on the one liners, like the like really campy.
Yeah, I'll be back.
He's dead tired. Yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, when a guy goes in a tool shed and starts just throwing blades through dudes' heads.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't buy that if it happened really in this Rambo movie because. Even though it is ridiculous, it does work on a more realistic level.
Right. That's the magical realism of it all.
And so that's
didn't have that.
That's why I say when I talk about the architecture of the genre, this movie is so important to it because like it does actually do the most credible version of what this ended up becoming. In Commando, for instance, and as I was like the Expendables franchise, for instance, doesn't appeal to me because it's too self-aware. It's like it's riffing on its own genre too much, so it's not entertaining to me. It's more entertaining if they're not aware of what they're doing.
Okay.
Commando opens with Schwarzenegger carrying a tree and then getting ice cream on his nose.
Yeah,
and then his daughter gets kidnapped, and the guy's like, "You have like we have your daughter, so you have to listen to exactly what I say, right?" And he's like, "Wrong," and just kills the guy.
Yeah.
It's like that's just how it works. Like,
yeah, he's not going to listen to anybody. And then he jumps off a plane like D.B. Cooper.
Yeah,
snaps some guy's neck. I mean, it's
completely
stuff.
Unbelievable. Yeah, just absurd the whole time.
They cut the electricity on his car, and so he like pushes the thing up over a hill. Yeah. And, like, I mean, anyway, so
and he goes, "He's dead tired."
Oh, that's the best line.
That's the best line. Yeah, he's dead tired.
Yeah. Like the scene you just showed here with Weird Al, where he's like this close and he doesn't hit anybody.
Right.
No more than any movie than Commando. He's literally walking through the garden, and there's guys everywhere around
him. Zillion
guys. Yeah, and he's just not getting hit by anybody. He's just shooting this machine gun. At least in this movie, he dismantled the whole camp with a helicopter before.
Right.
I mean, he unloads hell on these people, and then he just goes out there and shoots a couple of scrabblers.
Yeah, Rambo's more tactical.
He's a little more tactical. And Commando, watch that movie. He hits the shore with a bazooka, like a four-barrel bazooka.
Yeah.
And at one point, he doesn't have anywhere near his body.
Yeah.
And as he's attacking the compound, and then all of a sudden he has it. Like, he pulled it out of his pocket or something.
Yeah.
And the houses are exploding. Mm-hmm. They look like they're made out of, like, confetti.
Yeah.
There's nothing but walls and sticks holding it up.
Yeah.
I like Commando as a cheesy 80s movie.
Yeah.
But to
me, Ray Don Chong.
First Blood Part 2 is another level.
Okay, interesting. Yes. So 67 deaths. There are 67 deaths in this movie.
Yep.
57
body
are killed
count.
By Rambo.
Is it on screen?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So it's probably 200
in Commando.
Yeah.
And Rambo kills 57, and the vast majority of those are in this final 20 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He kills so many people. The one thing that I still have a hard time believing about this scene, there's two parts to it. But the first one is when he comes out from underneath the tree. Is that where he is? He's like under the ground. And he grabs the guy's feet, and the guy's too shocked to even scream. He's just like, and he gets pulled in. He doesn't even make any sound to give away the spot. And then the other one is he fakes crashing the helicopter.
He's right.
Being chased by this massive war chopper. Mm-hmm. Like, this thing is decked
out. Patchy.
With everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And he fakes crashing it. The guy comes around the bed, and there it is, just sitting there on the ground, and the copter gets closer.
It's sitting
and closer.
On the water.
Or the
it?
Water,
it's on the water,
And the copter gets closer and closer and closer, and then it's just. He wakes up and he shoots the bazooka.
Yeah.
I guess the bazooka.
Through the window.
Through the broken, perfect broken part of the window.
It's only cheesy, like, really not well shot. In that, when they show it again, it's like do the thing, and it's like really looks horrible.
Yeah,
they did a lot better than that.
Also,
CGI-wise or whatever they do.
I like that as soon as that happens, because the helicopter had been hit, so it was smoking. So like he's going down. He's able to like land the thing on water, be passed out, shoot the bazooka, and then just like fly the smoking helicopter home. There's just zero explanation for like. We got hit and it's smoking, but nothing's wrong with it.
Yeah,
it's
and you come back to it after he goes to Murdoch, and the copter's just destroyed.
Destroyed,
out front. Just like probably exploded.
Wasted.
Yeah. Totally good. Totally
good. Murdoch's base was only like 20 feet away from where everything went down anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So they shot this entire movie in Mexico.
Yeah.
I think it was shot over, let's see here. Completely in 1984, completely on location in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Waterfall explosion was Acapulco. I don't exactly know how long it took to shoot the movie, but I have to imagine the production schedule was
June to August, 84.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
June to August in 84.
It's a 90-day shoot, probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe more.
Yeah, nowadays, if you were going to shoot a movie as epic as this, with like as many explosions, this would take 6 months to a year. Yeah.
I don't know, because it'd probably be all Max? CG, so they'd probably be like, eh, green screen, mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Shoot it in a month.
Unless Stanley Kubrick was around, alive.
Right.
And it'd be like 14 years.
Right.
But it'd be a masterpiece, that's for sure.
Stanley Kubrick Rambo movie? Oh, my son.
Well, I mean, you know, he had Full Metal.
Do we think that like a remake of this movie would, like nowadays, would feel super different? Like it... If you were to like take a really quality director and plug in some really quality actors and try to make a credible plot, could you get a Rambo movie to feel like Rambo and be good in today's...
I don't know. For me, a large part of it is the fact that he's a Vietnam vet.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
underplays throughout the whole series.
Correct.
You would have to like... There hasn't been a war quite like the Vietnam War. I mean, yeah, Afghanistan, I guess you could kind of make some parallels there.
Yeah.
But I just think it'd be tough. And for me, I don't... When I... Like, someone's iconic, I know they're going to reboot Indiana Jones.
Right. Right.
But for me, Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones.
Right. Yeah.
And like you said, Mad Max came out. For me, Mel Gibson's Mad Max.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought Tom Hardy did a great job, and I think the movie's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I still, to me, Mel Gibson's Mad Max.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do I think they could do it successfully? Yes. But will I fully buy into it? You can't redo Rocky.
I was just going to say, you can't redo Rocky's
on a little bit on another level. I'll give you that.
And I think that's a testament to Stallone as this guy. He is. You can't recast him.
Right.
Like, we have this section, we'll get to it, where we talk about recasting. You can't recast Stallone. You can't make Rocky again, like you said.
No,
you can't make Rambo again without him. Mad Max, I think, like you said, they got away with it. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they could, but I truly, truly don't believe that you could remake this movie without Stallone.
No.
Which is fine, because he's still jacked.
Yes.
He's just
he's still jacked.
I mean, it's tough when an actor is just, you know, so attached to that character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a name. Rambo's a name. It's not, you know... So that's why, like, when I know they're going to do Indiana Jones, because it was created from a serial already, like, George Lucas was remaking serials from, like, 1950s and 40s, so I could kind of understand why they would recast him, because they would do in old days.
Sure.
But Rambo is just an original thing that came up, and Stallone made it his own. I mean,
I mean, you got to remember, he also wrote and directed this character.
Yeah.
Like, it is him embodied.
Like, they could do another Cobra.
Yeah,
they could probably do another Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
Could do another over the top.
Yeah, another over the top, another lockup. Yeah, stuff like that.
But that's like, I know I wanted to reference this just because the trailer came yesterday. My all-time favorite movie is Point Break.
Yeah.
I think Point Break's a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's take a minute to talk about this trailer.
Because it's...
Well,
I just wanted to say it's upsetting to me when you remake a movie that I consider to be a complete classic with superstars at the time that it came out.
Massive. Mm-hmm.
Like, Swayze was in the peak of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People's Sexiest Man Alive, 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Ben has this movie came out in 91. Still at home.
I don't understand how you can remake the movie without superstars. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's the same thing with Rambo. How do you remake Rambo without a huge superstar as Rambo?
Yeah, you need a massive, bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
You need a huge superstar to play Rambo.
Yeah.
And with the Point Break trailer, I think you were saying earlier that Gerard Butler was going to originally
play him. He was. He dropped out.
And I think that would have helped. For
absolutely.
Sure. Like,
that's to get you opening weekend money.
Yeah, exactly. Opening weekend money, and just as a person that loves action movies, you need that. You need that one guy in there.
You need the face. Trust me, I've said it.
One of the problems
numerous times, and nobody wants to listen.
Yeah, Pinstock actually worked on the film.
Yes,
so you can only say so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have paid Keanu a zillion dollars
to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that would be great.
Or you just say something about the YouTube trailer yesterday. Keanu Reeves presents the new Point Break trailer.
Right.
This is what, for me, remakes, when it comes to certain movies, to me, the cast is what makes that movie so great.
Yeah.
Gary Busey, a supporting character. Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves.
Fantastic.
It's not the plot to Point Break is cool and all.
It's the same plot.
That is not what keeps me going back to that movie.
Take it too serious.
It's the performances.
Too seriously.
And that's Karate Kid came out.
Yeah.
Remake with Jaden Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't a horrible movie.
No, it wasn't.
It was an okay remake.
Yeah.
But you're not going to quote it like you're going to quote that first movie, because the guy that played Johnny was just the best. Is that what it
was?
Yep.
I mean, Daniel LaRusso, Pat Morita was nominated for an Oscar for that movie.
That's correct.
Best supporting actor.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
He's so good in that.
And Jaden Smith wasn't, his name wasn't Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the plot to Karate Kid is not like a groundbreaking plot.
Right.
It's the actors and performances that bring me back to those movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what brings me back to Point Break, is those performances. So when I see a remake, I'm like, all right, the idea isn't that great that you need to make a remake.
It was called The Fast and the Furious.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep,
so,
exactly.
Totally right.
It's tough, man. It's just tough.
It is. We'll see. I mean, like I said, it's the action's fantastic.
Well, I will see it, and I'll see it, and we'll do it on the show.
We will definitely do that.
I hope everybody does.
Yeah.
I have to just bring you guys back for
it.
Yeah.
Seriously, it'd be good. All right, so I kind of want to get into hero-villain ranks. We were going to get into the interactive part of the show. Right. So now, guys, fans, if you guys are watching live, we really like to have you guys participate in this with us. So I'm going to rattle off our Twitters really quickly in case you guys want to tweet at us. But you can also just comment on YouTube. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media if you want to tweet at me.
At Bob Finstock.
At Schmoes JTE.
At Andrew Guy, G-H-A-I. And I do love your guys' comments, so send them.
Absolutely.
So please interact with us as we go through this last little section of the show. We're going to start with where we rank the hero and villain all time. Now, and I'm going to start with this, and I think that, in my opinion, the villains in this movie are irrelevant. They're not even really in a conversation.
Yeah. Like, very weak.
They're not even really, as you said earlier, they're hard to even really characterize as villains. Like, they're just sort of like backdrop.
They're cannon fodder.
But Rambo... Yeah. But Rambo, as a hero, as an action movie hero, I would have to say he's top five. Yeah. I mean, all-timers.
Absolutely.
He's up there with, like, the McClanes of the world and the Riggs of the world.
I'm with you.
Jason Bournes of the world. Like, he's really high up there for me.
Would Schwarzenegger make that list as a... Because Terminator's not really a hero.
Yeah, I was saying, it's funny. You were saying that. I was thinking about it. I was like, who would Schwarzenegger be? Who
characters?
Would this guy be?
Oh, Dutch goes pretty high for me. I love Dutch.
Dutch from Predator?
Yeah, okay. Dutch from Predator's definitely really high
for
me.
That's a good one.
I would say
John Kimble, Kindergarten Cop.
What's his name?
I love that movie.
It's a
great
movie.
I
still like it.
It's funny when you think about Arnold Stallone. Like, Arnold never really had the franchise. Yeah, he had Terminator 1 and 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. 3 was horrible. 1 and 2, what are franchises he had besides that? I guess Conan, but I mean...
He wasn't a franchise guy.
He wasn't a franchise guy.
He's standalone.
He's more standalone, which is very interesting to me.
The most memorable Schwarzenegger character is Dutch. As a character, it's the one that I've watched the movie the most times, and every time I watch it, I have so many fist pump moments.
Yeah.
The movie's just so sweet.
Yeah, it's great.
And then I would say, otherwise, if you wanted to go with Schwarzenegger from one of the Terminators, you could go with T2 Schwarzenegger as a hero,
because
he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's really good.
So for me, I probably put Rambo, I'd have to think exactly where, but he's inside the top five. He's probably fifth, but he might be as high as like fourth or third.
Yeah, I'm going to agree completely. Yeah. I would definitely put him in the top five, and the villains are they don't exist to me.
Yeah.
I don't care about them.
That's correct.
Villains are weak. He's top five. Like I said, he's the one-man army. He started the whole thing, in my opinion. So
now, you guys have a lot of...
Maybe he's top three.
Do you guys, as I'm saying, he might be for me.
I think he's number one for me.
Yeah.
He's
like
the best.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody better.
I can't. Well, I mean, the McClane's great.
Like,
but he only saves America. This guy saves the world.
That's right.
It's a big deal.
It's a good point.
Big, big difference.
Characters that you like... totally believe in, and they're just like the best in the action franchise. I mean, it's hard. He's good, but he's a little sillier as a character than... I'm sure there's a couple characters I can think of if I really went through it that'd be like, I not only do I like you as a character as much, but I take you a little more seriously as a character,
right?
Because I do get into this genre, and I do feel like it's super, super important to keep coming back to that one character over and over and over again.
Look, you run into Rambo in the Vietnamese jungle, and you will take him very seriously.
Man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're putting a team together, like, say you're, like, going on a mission, and you could pull, like, any fictional, like, action hero, who's not going to want Rambo on there?
Oh, he's there.
I mean, he's got to be there.
I mean, you definitely... Jason Bourne has to be pretty high. He's a total badass.
See,
I mean, I think Jason Bourne...
different style of badass.
Yeah, it's totally, yeah.
It's a different era.
He falls behind Rambo for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Ethan Hunt is somebody who I'd put right up there with him. He's a guy that is.
Is that Tom Cruise? Is that why you?
Tom Cruise.
It's so funny because those are PG-13 action heroes.
Yeah.
That you just mentioned.
Stallone.
I go for the R-rated.
Stallone's
guys are going to take dudes out.
Steroid raging, sexually oppressed, like, action hero.
Liam Neeson in the Taken franchise is real sweet. He's definitely good. Anyway, we're going to stay on this too long. Do we have y'all?
He's top five, if not number one.
He's number one.
He's number one for you.
I love it. We found him number one.
Number one, John McClane, number two.
I'm going to go top three, yeah.
He's top five for you.
I'm going to say top three for me. I can't... it's got to be top three. He might be number one.
I'm going to just throw it out there and say number four for me.
Number four?
Okay.
Yeah. I think four is a solid number. I feel good about that.
That's fair.
The fact that we're doing a movie with one of the top five greatest action heroes of all time is great.
Yes,
happy to finally get there.
He might be the number one.
He might be.
Yep.
I mean, I may apologize next week on the show to you guys and just realize that actually
Rocky's
there's
action
no one
hero
I can
too.
Think of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rocky the fighter.
Well,
I want to put him as an action star,
he beats Russia.
He did.
All right, guys. So this is one of our favorites. We are going to do a recast. There's not a lot of notable characters to recast, so we chose Sylvester Stallone, Charles Napier, and Richard Crenna. Rambo, Marshall Murdoch, and Colonel Samuel Troutman.
Yep.
And I guess we're going to sound off and start with...
Tom? JT?
Me? Okay,
JT.
For Troutman, I am going with Powers Booth.
Oh, that's good.
Powers Booth.
I think he... His voice alone, I can just see him ripping out that dialogue that Troutman spits out.
Anything he says is awesome.
He just has that presence. Like, every time you see him in a movie, he's usually some sort of military guy. He was in First Class where he played, like, Navy General MacGruber. He was basically playing Troutman.
Yep.
I thought, oh, this guy's fantastic. And he's a really good actor. He was also in Rapid Fire with Brandon Lee, where he kind of played the same kind of character.
The game has changed, Mac, but the players are the same.
Yeah. So, I have to go with Powers Booth. For Murdoch, I went Paul Giamatti.
That's really good.
I want somebody that gets kind of weaselly, sweat. I can just see Giamatti like sweating through his button up shirt and like, ah, oh, Rambo. Yeah. I can just
he's
see
coming
him
for it.
Yeah,
drinking Merlot.
Like when, mainly because when Rambo comes back to the base and he enters the room and he does this look right at Murdoch. Murdoch has this look of just pure fear.
Yeah,
I can see Paul Giamatti like, Rambo, I'm so glad you made it. And the hardest one for me was Stallone because, like we said, I can't see anyone being replaced.
Yeah.
If you had to do it, I would get Andy Serkis to do motion capture. Oh. Then we get Weta to create Stallone.
Yeah.
Young Stallone in his prime.
Like they did in the
Terminator. Exactly. Genesis. You see Arnold in his prime. You gotta use.
Except they went with like just jacked out of his mind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
because
who doesn't
want to
see the two of them fight?
Yeah, oh no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking in T4 when he shows up, and it's like bodybuilder era Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's too jacked. He's like Olympian era, like 76 era.
It's probably
Schwarzenegger.
Like a hologram. It's probably a hologram or something.
I'm not sure. I trust Andy Serkis to do his homework. He'll watch all the Rambo movies. He'll get all the mannerisms down.
Oh,
he's a very physical performance.
Absolutely.
And then you know you get wedded to putting Stallone in there digitally.
Yeah,
Stallone.
I'm not a good answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel the exact same way about Stallone. So I feel like my choice is kind of a cop out. But it's The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's the biggest action hero right now. He's massive. He's jacked. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves him. He's at the peak of his career.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
he could do that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm with that.
It's funny because you were talking about Predator earlier. I could see The Rock playing Dutch more than I could see him playing Rambo.
Really?
Because Arnold always has that presence.
Yeah.
Of just huge muscles.
Yeah. That's
true. Stallone's ripped. But I don't see him as a huge bodybuilder type.
Yeah.
So I think Rock would actually be great for Predator.
The Rock is very physically intimidating. I did the San Andreas premiere last night,
and he's
right there.
Big dude, boy.
He's real large,
big shoulders, very and so charismatic. So like just the white
smile.
Yeah. He's larger than life. The whole Schwarzenegger is larger than life thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it totally applies to The Rock.
Interesting.
Yeah. For Murdoch, I went with William Hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a weasel too, you know. I hate that guy, and you can totally see him doing this role. I love to see him get beaten, William Hurt. I like to see him lose. And I'm proud of this one. For Richard Crenna, I know, I'm just gonna pat myself on the back. For Colonel, I did Richard Jenkins.
Oh,
glasses or no glasses?
Weakness.
I feel like he always has glasses.
You can do no glasses.
Has he ever done without glasses? Yeah, he
plays weakness well.
He plays weakness very well, but he's also a very, very good actor. So he could be a great hype man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that.
I can see
that.
I
totally believe that a lot.
I like that a lot.
What about you, sir?
For Murdoch, I'm going to go Sean Penn.
Okay.
Murdoch?
Only,
Sean Penn?
Yeah, but only in his I Am Sam accent. No.
Is that an accent? Is that what that is?
I was going to say, like, maybe in Carlito's Way.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to go with, Murdoch, Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia?
Yeah, Robert Loggia.
Please elaborate.
He's in Scarface. He's in Independence Day. He's in Big with Tom Hanks.
What role does he play in Scarface?
The first guy Al Pacino works for.
Yeah, the first guy Al Pacino
works
for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's still alive?
He's still alive.
Wow.
Also,
still can act too.
Was in Over the Top with Stallone.
He was in Over the Top.
Wow. He played a grandfather.
Yeah, he's actually really good.
He's a great actor.
You don't think he's too old?
Nah.
That's for Murdoch, though.
Yeah.
Because Murdoch, I think he can be ageless because he's a weasel.
You got to slam him on the table without him dying. You got to remember that.
Yeah, but you also have to, like, for Richard Crenna, you have to be like, well, he's got to be young enough that you could believe he would have been in the war, like, a few years earlier.
Yeah.
But, like, for Murdoch,
that's
you don't care.
Okay.
I just like saying the name Robert Loggia as well.
Yeah, saying
Loggia.
Yeah.
Robert Lotion.
We're going to go with Sean Penn as Richard Crenna again, but with David Kleinfeld hair from Carlito's. No. I would go Val Kilmer.
Oh,
Conrad. currently too.
Fat Val?
Fat Val Kilmer.
I love Val Kilmer now.
He's the huge best. Fan.
Yeah, like obviously you can tell from how much we've talked about MacGruber, that's one of my favorite movies of all time but he is incredible in that movie. He makes that movie. Him and Will Forte are just phenomenal.
Great. And he was great in Tombstone.
Yeah.
And everything else he does.
Kilmer's and The Saint.
Yeah. And Rambo, Sean Penn, currently. Like right now, how he looks.
Doesn't even need to work
out. Yeah, he kills everybody now anyway. Or Frank Stallone, either one. They can't go too far away from the badass.
Yeah. This is real. You're sticking with Sean Penn on this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I dig it. Finally, we got a real Sean Penn. We had to get him in the movie somehow.
Yeah, he had to get in the movie.
I totally agree with The Rock. It is a little hard, like... But you know what? This is my thing. Okay, your favorite athlete signs the new team. You're like, no, he's been this team his whole career. I don't see him wearing that jersey. He goes over there and he wins. He's 100% on the new team. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's just the way it works.
Okay.
If you get the right team behind this movie, you put The Rock, you rewrite it a little bit, good dialogue, good action. If he's franchise Viagra, man. Like, you put The Rock into it, I really do think The Rock could do it. It'd be weird to see him with hair, but maybe you wouldn't give him hair.
Yeah.
Maybe you just wouldn't give him
hair. That bandana would silly without hair, though.
Bruce Lee wig. Give him a Bruce Lee wig.
And, you know, I cast The Rock myself. I love The Rock, but I have a hard time believing him when he's serious. After watching Hercules.
Yeah, after watching Tooth Fairy.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if I can find him. Like, if he was in Predator, like you said, I just don't know if I can believe him being that serious.
Yeah, he is so charismatic and funny.
Yeah.
I could see The Rock pulling off those Arnold lines better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that. All right, and then so for Murdoch, Charles Napier, I went with Michael Douglas.
That's a good one.
I think he's Weasley enough.
He's pretty old, too.
Yeah.
Old he's Weasley old. At this point. I think he could do it really well.
I can believe that he was in the military.
Yeah. And then for Troutman, this is maybe a reach, but I think just only the tone of his voice is the only reason. It would be Bill Pullman. Because I think Pullman's kind of off the radar now.
Yeah.
I could really see him if you dress him up the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does give speech as well.
Yeah.
You know, he was the president in Independence Day.
That speech is amazing.
Nuke him.
I think he could do it. I do think he could do it.
Yeah. I can see that. For sure.
Because the really hard thing for me with those two characters was that for Rambo, you need a huge action star. So The Rock, I believe he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But for those other two, it's like, as we said, they're only memorable for this franchise.
Yeah.
So you're not looking at him and like it's really hard for me to imagine somebody like Giamatti. Like, I can see him playing the role, but I'm almost like, he's too good of an actor. He's too experienced. Say, like, Tom Wilkinson's a guy that I could put in either one of those roles.
Yeah.
Wilkinson's too good, though.
Yeah.
You need somebody like Pullman who's, like, off the radar. Douglas is kind of past his prime.
Yeah.
These are guys that I could see filling those roles if you were to do a remake now.
Mm-hmm.
You'd really associate them with those roles now because they're not in the limelight doing other stuff.
Yeah, you get someone that you take too seriously and it takes away from the movie.
You know, I find really interesting how when you think about Rambo, you're thinking, like, who can I replace him for action star?
Yeah.
When Stallone made Rambo Part 2, he wasn't really the action star yet. He did Rocky movies where he played a boxer.
Right.
But all his roles after Rocky were a lot of dramas and Fist and Nighthawks. Lords of Flatbush. Some of these movies.
Paradise Alley.
These are not like, he wasn't. Rambo made him that action star.
It did. Because Rambo 1 was not that kind of. Wasn't action hero at that point.
Yeah, and it was a lot of people saw it as kind of a drama.
Yeah, it was one man's journey.
So, like, if I was making Rambo today, I would try to get somebody who's not really quite an action star yet. Maybe, like, on the verge. Like, I think you said earlier, like, Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
I could kind of see him going in there because he has the physical presence.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's a good actor because.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting how that works out.
If Hardy was to, I mean, if that was what really happened, I mean, it would definitely be, that'd be great.
Well, they had to reboot the franchise, you know, in the first one. Like I said, Stallone wasn't really an action hero, so
Right.
Maybe that's the way you ease him into it rather than just going full blast with like a Rambo 2 where he's blown up the world.
Right, and you mentioned this before the show. We were talking about who's better, is it Stallone or is it Schwarzenegger? And the one thing that Stallone has is that he can play the everyman.
Mm-hmm.
He can
play
that everyday guy, and Arnold can't.
No, he cannot.
You know, you saw Kindergarten Cop. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
He's not
But
that.
He's still like a bodybuilder turned.
Yeah, bodybuilder cop. Yeah,
and exactly.
And just his accent and everything. He's a larger-than-life person.
Yeah, Stallone couldn't do Cop. I mean, Schwarzenegger couldn't do Copland.
No.
No, of course not. And Stallone, you know, he's done some movies where he's trying to, you know, goes into the drama, Lockup.
Yeah.
Lockup,
which was great.
Which is a great movie. But that with Arnold, it'd be like, who's he killing and when?
Yeah,
Arnold even though like Stallone sounds ridiculous,
he
doesn't sound as ridiculous as Arnold.
Right.
And he's much more believable.
I will say this. If you, looking back on their careers, you know, as parallel action stars, you would say in the end, Schwarzenegger won. Like, Schwarzenegger, in the end, had, like, a longer career of more hits, and Stallone had two big franchises and a lot of stuff that nobody really watched, right? Mm-hmm. That's, like, that's the story of the careers.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the reason that that is for exactly what you're talking about. Stallone could play the everyman, but he kept wanting to be an artist. He kept wanting to do the comedy. He kept wanting to do a weird Western with Dolly Parton or something, right?
Yeah, Rhinestone, yeah. Yeah, he did his all his own singing.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yep.
You know, he wanted to have this dalliance as, like, an artist, because clearly he wrote Rocky. I mean, that was what he was. Schwarzenegger knew exactly what he was the whole time.
Yeah.
And he never strayed away from it. Yep. And that's ultimately why Schwarzenegger was still making hit movies and movies that were making money into the early 2000s. I mean, it's debatable if, like, Collateral Damage was a hit, but...
Well, it's interesting that
Total Recall's fantastic. Oh, so is Running Man.
Yeah. Arnold knew his range. I think he knew he couldn't be doing that. I think Stallone showed, because he was nominated for an Oscar right out of the gate, and he did stuff like Fist, I think it showed he could actually kind of be successful in that. So I could see why he'd want to try to do more roles like that. Whereas I think Arnold never came close
to
being nominated
for anything. Yeah.
Yeah, Arnold wanted money and chicks. Stallone wanted to be an artist.
Yeah.
And money and
chicks. It's just...
Yeah, and money
and chicks. All right, so this is a quick rapid fire. Something we do called Cage versus Cruz. I'm going to ask each one of you the role of John Rambo in this movie. Had it been played, you get to choose Cage or you get to choose Cruz. You can give me one sentence describing what would happen.
I'm going in right now. Yeah. Tom Cruise, because of the height.
Sir,
they're the same height, okay?
Okay.
Wow, that's a good point. I'm going to say Nicolas Cage because he actually rocked the hairdo in Con Air.
Yes.
He could rock the long hair and be an action hero, so that proves he could do Rambo.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nick Cage too, just a bit because of pure ridiculousness.
Yeah,
like he looked good, like doing like the yelling, like and like you know 360. Helicopter stuff.
Yell. Yeah. Such a guttural yell.
I'm definitely going to go Cage. This is one that in his prime, Cage would have knocked out of the park. The thing that's really interesting about Nick Cage that some people don't realize is that there was a portion of his career where he was kind of playing like action stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and The Rock and
like,
Con Air.
Not just The Rock where he was like Stanley. I'm talking like movies where he got jacked.
Yeah.
Kiss of the Vampire, Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah.
He's jacked. He's pretty jacked in Con Air.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah.
Kiss of Death.
Kiss of Death.
Kiss of Death. That's the one I'm thinking
of. Yeah, the one with the guy from NYPD Blue.
Yeah, Michael Rappaport's in it too, I think.
Yeah, and he's just basically this big, muscular kind of thug.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Con Air is his most 80s action movie.
Totally, made in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's slow motion, hair waving in the air.
Oh, it's excellent.
Yeah, he looks like Rambo.
Yeah. He's totally capable.
Wait, do that movie.
Totally capable.
It's the closest to Rambo I've seen.
All right, guys.
Favorite line. I want to talk about my favorite line, man.
Yeah.
Skipping things. Favorite lines.
Listen, Rambo does that to people.
All right, who wants to go? Who wants to do it?
I can go.
Yeah, all right, Tom, let's hear it.
It's from Troutman, and then Rambo delivers just the knockout blow. And it's the last line of the movie. He goes, "How will you live, John?" He goes, "Day by day."
Day by day.
And he just walks off.
Where is he going? He has to turn around in like 10 minutes.
He's
going to
get a cheeseburger. He's hungry. He didn't eat the whole movie.
That's
what
he does.
DT?
Day by day.
It's also from the very end of the movie. I love when, you know, Troutman's kind of talking to him as they're walking away, and he goes, you know, "What do you want?" And Sloan gives this great anger-fueled speech.
Right.
He's like, "I want what they want for my country to love me as much as I loved it."
Yeah.
And he says it with such, like, breath and
so anger.
Yeah. I'm just like,
that's where he probably was crying.
Exactly. Right. And that says, in that one of the documentaries on the movie, you know, a lot of, that's how a lot of soldiers felt coming back from Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think it resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah, they got a lot of flack for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Politics, Stallone, writing it. Mm-hmm. Mine is a little long, but it's early on. It's Rambo John Jay, born 7/6/47, Bowie, Arizona, of Indian German descent. Joined Army 8/6/64. Yeah, hell of a combination. Accepted. Special Forces Specialization. Light weapons. Cross-trained as medic, helicopter, and language qualified. 59 confirmed kills. 2 Silver Stars. 4 Bronze. 4 Purple Hearts. Distinguished Service Cross. And the Congressional Medal of Honor. And this is literally exactly what we talk about in these movies. This guy
can... the qualifier.
Yeah, this is the qualifier. This guy can do anything.
Yeah, that's like Barry Bond stats.
Yeah, exactly.
59 confirmed, probably 300 unconfirmed.
Yeah. I like that line a lot. My line is very similar. It's the other qualifier that comes right after. It's from Troutman. And he says, "Let me just say that Rambo is the best combat vet that I've ever seen. A pure fighting machine with only a desire to win a war that someone else lost. And if winning means he has to die, he'll die.
He'll die.
No fear, no regrets." You could just those two paired together.
Yeah.
Or just say everything you need to know about
Rambo. I want
that
guy to do anything for me.
There's a couple of other honorable mentions are like Rambo, you're no expendable.
Yeah.
And then obviously when he's like,
yeah,
Murdoch.
Yeah,
it's like
yes.
on his lips. He's like, so good. I'm coming to get you.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, like all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. And at the very end, he's like, find them. Yeah. I'll find you.
Yeah. Did anyone else want to see him die?
Yeah, definitely.
I want him to get stabbed. So like, yeah. You're already in a military base mm-hmm. shooting it up. Like, you've already broken the law. Just kill the guy.
Well, he already got in trouble and had to like go into rock smashing camp for going crazy. In the first, if he had killed Murdoch at the end of this one, who knows where he'd start in the third one?
Yeah.
But I also like the line where she says, you look like hell, Rambo. Yeah. He goes, tough day.
It's good stuff.
There's a few actors who have the eyes of just pure intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Stallone has shown it a few times in his career, once in Over the Top for the first arm wrestling match.
Yeah.
And I said it earlier, after he just blows away everything in that place.
Sure.
And he walks in the room, and I love the framing of the scene because Troutman's to the right, and Rambo comes in, he's looking straight on, and he gives the head turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just his eyes right there, and as he's walking towards him,
that's Brian Thompson intensity.
It's Brian Thompson intensity, yeah, from Cobra.
From Cobra.
Cobra would be a good one to do on here.
Oh yeah.
JT carries a picture of Brian Thompson in his wallet
in case I'm at the gym and I need I need an extra.
Wait, what should I look like?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, the intensity. I just found it.
Got to bring that pure intensity.
All right, fellas. So this is it. This is the final segment, and this is going to be a really interesting one because I think we all have varied opinions on this. There are three categories all action movies fit into. The three categories are. Totally ridiculous. That is fall off a cliff of absurdity. A great reference point for this would be Face Off, maybe Con Air, movies that have a hard time really ever stepping into the literal world of quality, but they're very entertaining. You have totally legitimate, which are great movies like The Fugitive, Die Hard, movies that are real classics. There's
very
nothing,
believable.
Almost nothing you can really criticize about them in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then the perfect zenith category, the middle category, which is like, that's the cream of the crop, which is ridiculously legitimate. And for us, it would be Point Break, Speed, The Rock are the three movies that come to mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, where do we think this movie falls? And this is a big one, guys. If you're watching, please tweet at us, comment on YouTube. We want to know what you think, because this is a controversial one. I have a feeling we're going to have some different opinions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start.
Yeah.
Please.
Let's do this.
It is totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
Beyond. If there was a fourth category for, like, totally, totally ridiculous,
yeah.
I would put it in that category.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's go over here.
That's fair.
I'm going to say totally legitimate.
Yes. I knew it. That's why.
Here's the thing. A movie is a product of its time. You gotta look. You know, I know we're decades out, but when this movie came out, I don't think people were thinking totally ridiculous.
No,
I think it was the first of its kind. It was a huge blockbuster, one man army. So for that time period, and when I watched the movie, I got to think about when it was made.
Yeah,
to me, it's totally legitimate, and I don't think there's a movie quite like it that's done it better. To be honest with you,
so you think it's totally legitimate in '85 and in 2015.
I think if you can name me a movie that does what it did better, then I'll say maybe not. But I can't think of one.
Okay.
I agree with him. I mean, I went with ridiculously legitimate.
The middle category.
Yeah.
It's a little more realistic, I think.
I think, you know, you go over to Vietnam and there's still people, tensions were running high still, you know, from the people who came back there and everything like that. They didn't want him to go there and just stab everybody. They wanted him to go there and just blow up the entire country, basically.
right.
And that's pretty much exactly what he did.
He won the war first.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, the people come home and watch that thing, they're like, you know what? All right, now this maybe settled me out a little bit. Now I'm fine.
Sure.
Now I won't go into supermarkets and hear, you know, the bells ring and dive to the floor and, you know, run and say, hey, whatever they called them back in those days.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I like about it.
I'm going to go to the exact same category, ridiculously legitimate.
You think it's the middle category?
It's interesting because when I started off today, I did not. I thought it was totally ridiculous. But thanks to these guys and our discussion, it bumped it up for me. I think that there's definitely moments in where I cannot get on board. I have to suspend my disbelief too much. Yeah. But when you take everything into account, you give the movie the respect that it deserves, not just because it's 30 years old, like you forget, you overlook it. But like you said, when it came out in 85, I bet this movie was mind-blowing. I bet it was like the greatest.
Biggest R-rated movie?
Yeah, I mean, this is the worst rated Rambo movie ever, but it's also the most parodied, well-known, and respected by the community, in my opinion.
I mean,
The community.
Yeah.
I mean, look, when you
that watch these movies.
I think when the Oscar people were like tallying their votes, they're like, Do we give Rambo an Oscar nod here?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they're probably like, I can't see why not.
Yeah, it
was fantastic.
I mean, it is interesting, I will say, that we reviewed Mad Max last week, and my feeling on Mad Max was, my bold statement was that the Franchise Association, the plot, the dialogue, and most of the delivery of the lines was totally irrelevant to enjoying the movie, and I thought the movie was totally fantastic because of the action and how great it was. Mm-hmm. Maybe in 1985, had I seen this movie, I would have felt the exact same way. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible.
Yeah,
hard for me to put myself because it's so laughable at so many parts, but I can see where you're coming from. I still say totally ridiculous.
I think, you know, the numbers don't lie. I mean, look at the top 10 on that 85 box office. I mean, it's number two, and there's some really good movies under
Color
that.
Purple.
Yeah. And Jewel of the Nile, and Witness, and Goonies, and Spies Like Us.
And Rocky IV.
And
even
Rocky
IV. It's the same movie.
Yeah.
That is the Absolutely. The Rocky movie.
The only one that deserves to beat that. It is Back to the Future, because that was, that's just...
I think we can all agree that we'd like to be 1985 Sylvester Stallone if we could.
Yes. And I also think part of what's First Blood, you heard about so much what he could do. Mm-hmm. You heard about him as a Green Beret.
Yep.
It's like seeing like a retired player. He's not in the game anymore.
Right.
Rambo 2 put him back in the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
It said, we're going to show you. We told you everything you
could
do.
It's his natural habitat.
Yeah.
Put John Rambo back on the map. Yeah. Hell.
Yeah. It's like we're going to let you see everything that he could do. And that's why I think it was such a huge hit.
He should have worn a shirt that said, I'm back, bitches.
Yeah.
to Vietnam.
Yeah. That's an amazing movie.
Amazing. All right, guys. Well, that is going to do it for Action Movie Anatomy today. A heck of an episode.
Yeah.
A hell of an episode.
Hell of an episode, Sully.
A hell of an episode, Sully. thank you guys so much for coming and joining us today. That was really a lot of fun. You guys had a tremendous amount of Rambo insight.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we had you guys on.
Diehard fans.
Thanks for having us.
So let's just run around real quick. Where can the people find you guys if they want to tweet at you?
At Schmoes JTE, you can catch us, me and Tom, are on the Schmoes No Show every Thursday from 6 to 8 Pacific Time. We also do Box Office Breakdown on this very good
network
Popcorn Talk Network. We cover the movies every weekend.
Yeah, we talk about Stallone a lot.
Yeah, we always bring Stallone up.
All right.
And I have my own podcast called JTE Movie Thinks, where I interview people about movies.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can find check those things out.
You can
great
find
shows.
Me at Bob Finstock.
just like always, at Andrew Guy. Thanks again for watching.
Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram, and occasionally, like last night, when The Rock flew in on a helicopter, or he was on actually a fire truck, Periscope, but very occasionally. So I'll see you guys then. Take care.
Take care, guys.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.